this game really allows us to connect to people on a completely different level. I mean, we have the ability to change people's lives and develop growth within a community through the game of golf, the game that we grew up playing, the game that we love. And to be able to do that is just breathtaking, really.
That little snippet was from our next guest, Henry Statina. He is the PGA Golf Management Program Coordinator at New Mexico State University, as well as the Director of Instruction at Red Hawk Golf Club. This gentleman is on a path like myself as far as teaching the game of golf, but he has the opportunity to do this not only to kids and beginners and advanced players alike, but he also is getting the opportunity to teach our next generation of club professionals. Henry does a spectacular job of growing this game in an area that may not have the most and best resources to get this game off the ground. And Henry's done a fantastic job of taking in what limited resources he has and creating a golf program that is, in my opinion, doing a spectacular job of getting kids to play this game that otherwise may never have had the chance. I really think you'll find this podcast really insightful and kind of heart-jerking a little bit at times, but Henry is doing some great stuff. So real quick, a couple updates again. This is probably one of the last times I get to tell you this. Dr. Rob Bell and I are doing a workshop January 26th at 3:30 to 5:30. It's $90. This is a mental toughness workshop for both the athlete and the parent. So if this is something you're interested in and want to get a part of, please email me, mattwoltergolf@gmail.com. We'll get you signed up and registered. And always, if you like the podcast, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and subscribe, so that way you get access to all of our latest episodes. And with that, a quick word from our sponsor, and then you guys get to hear from Henry. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today on the Junior Golf Blueprint, I have Henry Statina from New Mexico State. He's a program coordinator for the New Mexico State PGM program, as well as the director of instruction for Red Hawk. Henry has done some awesome things for junior golf out in that part of the country, and being a fellow PGMer, but repping the Mississippi State Bulldogs, I couldn't help myself by having a chat with another guy who's in the business, went through the route that I did, and is doing some awesome stuff. Henry has really earned himself a great title as Teacher of the Year for the Sun County PGA, as well as the Youth Player Development Award winner. That is not easy accomplishments to achieve. I was also a Youth Player Development Award winner, and let me tell you, you've really got to, you know, show your hand in order to achieve these accomplishments. And so it speaks highly of Henry. But without me bragging on him, I'll let him brag on himself. And Henry, go ahead and say hello to everybody. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into golf? And how did you get to where you're at?
Good morning. Thanks, Matt. So I grew up in New Mexico. I still live in New Mexico. And I grew up playing golf in Santa Fe, at Santa Fe Country Club. We were 7 years old, I guess, when I started playing. My dad introduced me to the game. And I think I got hooked right out of the gate. We played quite regularly. We lived relatively close to the course, and so we'd go down to the golf course, hit balls as a family, and kind of all developed and learned the game together. Shortly after that, we got into tournaments and played the Sun Country Junior Tour until I was 18, and at that point, I went on to play college golf for 2 years at Pratt Community College. Always have enjoyed competitive golf. I still play competitive golf. I've played in a handful of section events, and I've been fortunate to make a couple of national championships, the PNC. And now I'm currently with the PGA Golf Management Program at New Mexico State University. I'm an alumni of the program, and I am also the director of instruction at Red Hawk Golf Club, where we conduct a lot of player development programs, especially in the youth category.
Man, that's awesome. It's it's a fun journey, you know, like what we went through, and I couldn't imagine having the opportunity that you have, in order to give back to the PGM programs that, you know, spawned us. First, before we kind of get into all that stuff, what's it like, running the PGM program, or, you know, help run the PGM program for New Mexico State?
That's a great question. It's an incredible opportunity for me. I thoroughly enjoyed my experience in the program as a student, and to be able to be back in this role, it's a new role for our program. We never had a player development person, and so we kind of started from scratch, and I get to teach the golf instruction component of the PGA curriculum. So we're in the classroom lecturing a couple of times a week. We have an indoor swing lab with TrackMan and video analysis. And so I run that. My office is attached to it. And it's a neat experience. It's had its ups and downs, teaching college students to play better golf and to teach golf and inspire them to want to grow the game has been a gratifying experience. It's been a good time. I enjoy it.
Yeah, man, I tell you, it's got to be tempting having your office that close to a simulator.
Yeah, exactly. When we first built it, I used it a little bit more. Nowadays, not as much. It's tempting. It's neat. Students come in, they hang out in the office in between classes or during a break. They want to go in there. They might set up an appointment, but a lot of times they just come in and they want to hit balls. They want to look at their numbers. They want to experiment and play with different clubs. And so I sit in there with them and kind of coach them through it and bounce ideas off of each other. Some students are really into it. Some aren't, but it's actually a pretty neat place to hang out.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting point. Director of instruction for a facility, as well as a program coordinator, you have the opportunity to interact with, 100 kids on campus doing the program who are going to teach in some capacity. If they go into the green grass route or if they become teachers full time, they'll obviously be teaching a lot. So I can imagine the conversations you get to have with a lot of these kids can be very interactive, and you guys can probably come up with some really awesome ideas.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's neat to see, I've been here now for going on my fifth year. I'm about to finish my fifth year. So now I've seen a couple of classes go through from beginning to end. And it's interesting to see their development from when they come in as a freshman and they're completely green to when they're graduating and they are now more polished as a professional and they're more capable of giving a golf lesson. I think we're graduating some students who are becoming more and more capable of giving really good golf lessons. And I think they're going to go on and get more and more education through the PGA and through other outlets and be very successful in the industry. I think growing the game and teaching the game is the most important thing that we can do for our students and for our professionals.
I mean, it's the only thing that guarantees we keep having a job.
it's the only thing that really sets us apart from anyone else.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I remember I've had a couple pros along the way come up to me and tell me, the big thing that separates us from somebody, that's just a counter jockey is our ability to play and our ability to teach. And I kind of took that a little probably too much to heart as I ran with it, just as a teaching professional now, not as a, club pro so much running the day-to-day operation. But, I couldn't speak highly enough of the education I got at Mississippi State. And I know New Mexico State is another one of the top schools in our little community of PGM. And I think that I just remember that y'all were the school to beat in the Jones Cup. And apparently you guys still are the school to beat as you guys have gone back to back out there. I know I'm kind of like hanging around this PGM thing a little bit, but I'm curious, what are y'all doing that, maybe program development wise or player development wise that you're enabling your students to perform so well at Jones Cup, which is a kind of like a Ryder Cup format for the people that don't know what that is, amongst all the PGM schools. What are y'all doing that continues to have success?
I think it all comes down to a couple of things. First and most importantly is that we have year-round golfing weather.
That helps.
I mean, we have, as we were talking a little bit before the show, we had a couple of cold spells throughout the year, but I mean, we can play golf every day of the year if we wanted to. We had snow this year, it melted by noon the next day. I think we get snow once every other year. There's only a couple of days out of the year that's unplayable. And so it really allows our students to play golf year-round. We have very affordable semester-long passes at any of the area golf courses, and so that allows them to have as much access as they need. There's really no restrictions to their golf access. And then we have an incredible tournament program. Back when Pat Gavin started the program, he implemented the tournament program that allows students to play about 25 tournaments per semester.
Wow.
And I think that is really where it's at, is because our students are competing on a regular basis. We'll get 30 to 50 players in a field. We'll pay out 30% of it. And you definitely have to shoot under par in order to win an event. And you'd have to shoot in the mid 70s to maybe sometimes upper 70s in order to cash in an event. And so we're competing weekly. And in addition to that, recently, as I've come on board, we've added some player development programs, individual instruction and group instruction. We now have the indoor golf swing lab. And so we're just adding to the opportunities that our students have in improving their golf game and really taking it to the next level. We're seeing some players improve significantly over the 4 years, not only to pass the PAT, the playing ability test, but to play very competitive golf. I could see a lot of our graduates starting to make an impact on the national scene through the PGA.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it goes back to kind of like a little bit earlier when I was talking about having all those kids in around your bay and able to bounce ideas off of, you know, young minds. And, you know, we're not old, but, you know, they're still, you know, 10 years is a big difference in generation. But to have that ability to go through a program that y'all are putting before them so that they can, you know, I believe in, if I'm going to give it to my student, I'm going to do it first to see if it works, right? So having that already laid out for them, like, here's a program, here's a schedule, you know, follow this. We're seeing results at the playing level for us as a PGM school. And then now they can take those ideas that you've gifted them and utilize it for their own programs when they work with junior golfers or ladies and or the men's group or whatever at their facilities.
I think you nailed it. I think that our conversations, we're constantly talking about golf, the golf swing, strategy, teaching, how to work with different players. And just in the past year or so, we've been able to create opportunities for them to actually go out and practice those skills. We've rounded up amateur golfers throughout the community and have allowed our students to go and give golf lessons for free and practice the stuff that we've been talking about in the lab and in the classroom. Some of the youth development programs that we've implemented are now allowing our students to go out there and conduct these programs to where when they leave, now they're going to have a whole bank of experience to look back on and sift through and figure out what's going to be best for them and for their facilities.
Yeah, I mean, that's invaluable. So let's dive into some of the junior golf aspects that you guys have taken on. Obviously, like I said earlier, you're in a unique situation where you're a program coordinator for the PGM school, but also a director of instruction for Red Hawk. And you've taken it upon yourself to interact with PGA Junior League, Boys and Girls Club, you have LPGA clinics. Walk us through, let's just kind of break it down. Walk us through, you know, how you guys got involved with Boys and Girls Club and what do you guys do for them to help grow the sport?
So, like I said, I've been here almost 5 years now. And for the first 3.5 years, I would teach golf on the weekends at some of the area golf courses. I would run an elite high school program and then a younger program that had some really good tournament players, and then teach a handful of adults pretty much all day on Saturdays. I usually take off on Sundays for my family. And I did that very regularly. But a few years, or actually a year ago, some of those high school kids graduated. And so now the program got smaller. So I thought of ways, what can we do to kind of expand on this program that we have going? I'm always looking for ways to give our students at the PGM program more experience. And so over winter break last year, it's always a kind of a downtime. We're prepping for the next semester. And I thought of, why not go and reach out to the Boys and Girls Club and teach them to play golf? And so I called our section and they have some snag equipment. They let us borrow some of the snag equipment that they use. And we took a group of PGA Golf Management students to the Boys and Girls Club on a weekly basis. We went every Wednesday for about 5 weeks, and we introduced them to the game of golf. We started on the blacktop, the playground area with the basketball courts, and we set up different types of skill development setups. We taught them the swing, the setup, all that stuff, and they were doing pretty well. And they're set up to where just down the street from them is a park, a public city park, and we ended up going over there and creating a golf course. We outlined it, three holes, par three, par four, par five, and we ended up teaching them the rules and strategy and some of that aspect of the game. They enjoyed it. Our students enjoyed it. I thought that they were benefiting from it, and I thought that might be the end of it. Red Hawk opened their doors to allow our students to bring the Boys and Girls Club kids out. We took them on three field trips. They went to the golf course. We gave them a tour of the facility, explained to them how things worked there, and then did three clinics. Our students were all level one students. They got to give golf lessons, film it, and use it as their work experience activities for the PGA. And so it was kind of a win-win-win for everybody. And at that moment, I kind of thought that might be the end of things. But I was able to take over the PGA Junior League, and that actually kind of kick-started the whole thing, which worked out in our favor.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I mean, talk about a win for so many people, right? I mean, to have level one, so for people that are listening that don't understand kind of how that is, the PGA of America has you go through work experience, you can call it modules, I guess would be the right way to say it, but you have to go through three different levels, and you have to pass different book work as well, we used to call it anyways, and one of them is teaching. So in order to knock that out for your students, is in the PGM school, but then also to provide a service to the local community like that is just incredible, man. I applaud you for that. That is awesome.
Thanks. It's been a really gratifying experience, actually. It's something that I'm real proud of, but grateful for. And I think our students are really benefiting from it and appreciative for it.
Yeah. I mean, so let me ask you this then, right? So you got, you're working with kids from the Boys and Girls Club. I'm imagining they probably don't have a lot of clubs or equipment for themselves. And so now you're providing a service to them. How are you able to equip them to participate? And then how are you able to, like you said, you kind of convert it into a three-hole golf course there. So what are you guys doing so that they can maybe, you know, dabble into that stuff a little bit when you guys aren't doing the camps and clinics?
So that's a good question. Pat always says that I have a good use of resources, that I use our resources well, because we don't have a ton, but we have access to different things. Initially, we started with the Boys and Girls Club using the snag equipment that was loaned to us by the Sun Country section. When we went to the golf course, we obviously needed to use some real equipment, and so we partnered with a group in town, a nonprofit organization that is called Clubs for Kids. And what they do is they get clubs donated to them. They cut them down and grip them with youth grips, and they put them into sets of five or six clubs, and they donate them to fifth graders who have shown interest through the PE programs in our community. And they'll host a clinic at each of the golf courses and promote all of the different youth programs that are available. Well, we ended up taking their equipment that they had and used it as a project for our PGM students so that they would cut the clubs down, size them accordingly, and grip them, put them into sets. And now we actually built the sets that we were using for the junior program.
Hey, dude, you are top notch, man. That, again, you're killing two birds with one stone. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a really interesting, you know, being involved in the program, being involved in the at the golf course and with the community. It's actually been a very blessing to have that opportunity.
Well, man, I applaud you. I mean, like I said, I mean, you're providing a service not just for kids who, you know, may not have had an opportunity to play the sport, but now you're also giving the kids, I say kids, but they're young adults in your PGM program that are, you know, trying to learn how to give back to the sport, right? And so now you got them figured out how to create a program, how to find the resources to utilize the program, and then also, you know, junior club fitting is, you know, I actually just posted a video on Instagram yesterday about talking about kids clubs and how, you know, don't grow into them, grow out of them kind of mentality. And, you know, so it's great what you're doing, and I applaud you for that. That is just top dollar stuff, man. And, you know, you kind of sent me some of the things that you guys were doing. You instituted an LPGA girls golf program. Talk to us about that and how that kind of got kicked off.
Yeah, so there's resources available for all PGA members, for LPGA members, for golf professionals. There's always resources available, whether it be through PGA Junior League or through Girls Golf Program or various private or public sectors that are offering money for youth programming, but there's always resources available. And I saw the Girls Golf Program as an opportunity to get resources so that we can offer the programs at a lower cost to the people in our community. My wife's a PGA member. She played for the NMSU Aggies. She has got a non-traditional job, not at a golf course currently, but we have two daughters. And so to us, growing the game for girls is a very important thing. And we started the LPGA Girls Golf Program. We have a very neat group. It's a very calm and collected kind of environment. It's very different from a traditional junior golf program. We have a couple of 12 to 14 year old girls who are competitive in the area, and they've been able to come out and act as mentors for the younger girls. And what's neat is we have a few females in the PGA program who have now taken on the role as being a leader within that group. And it's growing. We had 25 registered girls golfers last year, and we're hoping to double that this year. This year we'll be hosting an official girls golf camp, which is a bigger deal than just the regular stuff. And we've been fortunate to get a few grants through the LPGA. They have resources available to supplement the cost of the program, and it's just been good. I'm looking forward to expanding on what we did last year.
Well, that's pretty neat, man. You're in a very similar boat, except I'm on the other side of the spectrum. My wife played for Belmont here in Nashville, and then we have two boys, so I could appreciate all the time that you're putting in while having to juggle the family life as well, because I can imagine it's probably quite the toll at times. That's really neat. You know, I think the thing that gets overlooked from time to time through the PGA is, and people that aren't, or LPGA too, that aren't associated with these groups, you know, they offer grants that if the professional just writes in and said, hey, you know, I need like $500 to buy Snag Golf to start a junior program. I mean, as long as you record it, document it, and go through it, to the requirements in order to get the grant, you can put on a program at almost, you know, no cost to you, really. It helps, I think, guys like you trying to get these things off the ground, you know, utilize a valuable resource like you're very well and capable of doing. And I think you do a fantastic job of tapping into that.
Thanks. It's New Mexico is on the lower end of income levels, and we have a high free lunch program. High percent of our students are on free lunch. And so playing golf isn't really an option for a lot of them. We were able to make it available to them, but it was only through these grant programs from the section, from the PGA, from PGA Reach, the LPGA. And then now I started a new program, a nonprofit organization that we're looking to get more funding to really make a difference in these kids' lives through the game of golf.
That's awesome. Great, great stuff, man. So let's shift one more time. And you do, or you got started, a great thing that has taken the place by storm, in my opinion, PGA Junior League. It's not perfect, but it's got a great principle behind it. Talk to us about how you got this thing off the ground and how is it working to grow the game in your area?
Yeah, PGA Junior League, probably the hottest thing going in golf. It's absolutely amazing what it's been able to do for us. And now hearing and being a little bit more involved in it, I think it's going to be very similar in a lot of other areas. Again, I'm not at a green grass facility. I don't teach golf on a regular basis to the general public. But a year ago, I was given the opportunity to take over a program, a PGA Junior League program. And I met with a lot of the pros in the area, and a very normal conversation that I've had with other professionals who said, there aren't any kids playing golf. No one wants to play. There's not enough kids. This program won't work. I thought to myself, this is crazy. There's a school bus that comes by my house every day that's picking up a whole bunch of kids. It's going somewhere. Where in the world are these kids spending their time? There's got to be enough kids. And I called our PGA Junior League regional representative, Anthony Vitale. He's an alumni of our program and a friend of mine. So that was nice to be able to have a normal conversation with one of these guys. And he basically explained to me everything there was to know about PGA Junior League, including a scholarship that was available for kids who qualify for free or reduced lunch at school, which is about 3/4 of those people in our community. And what we did was we found out that that was going to make this available to all of them because it was a full ride scholarship. It's available to all PGA Junior League programs, so long as the pro is willing to offer it to his group of participants. It's through PGA Reach and Dick's Sporting Goods. And so what we did was I put together a flyer and I said, here's the cost of the program. There's a scholarship available. And I went on Facebook and sent it out to as many people as I could, as many people that I knew, but also as many youth organizations in town that I could find on Facebook. I emailed as many people as I could, and we spread the word. And our goal was to get 32 participants so that we could have 4 full teams and a full league of our own, or a full pod is what they call it.
Man, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I want to bring back that point real quick. About the scholarships that they offer, you know, that's a relatively newish kind of thing. And like I sit on the section board or on the section chair for the junior golf committee, and it was interesting for me to go back and look to see what these what the scholarships provide and how it offers it to the pro as well as the student that doesn't have this opportunity or ability to afford it. I mean, it's a win-win for both sides. And the, like we were talking about a lot, but the free lunch program, like it wasn't even aware to me that Davidson County, like, which is Nashville, the public school district, has a very high free lunch program. And I was like, that's kind of what I got on my horse and said, how are we not utilizing this to a better extent when it's so prevalent in our area? So that's kind of one of my missions this year, is to really push that same scholarship that you took advantage of this past year. And that's kind of my goal for this year for our area, is like, you know, let's get this thing going. Let's grow this thing with that, because that's phenomenal.
A person would be crazy not to take advantage of it. The scholarship pays $175. So the full fee for the junior league, $75 of it goes to National for all of the stuff that they do, all the resources and support that they have in the jerseys and all that stuff. And then $100 of it goes to the facility or the pro or whoever's collecting that revenue. And so it really supplements the program so that the course or the professional has an income. Obviously, we're not doing it for nothing. And then it allows the players to participate at no cost. So talk about a great way to grow the game.
Oh, yeah. It's like I said, it was when I saw the numbers of what we did last year and how little we used it in comparison to the opportunity we have with it. I mean, I'm hoping for a lot bigger number this year So I've been kind of leaning on the guys that I know that can utilize that, and I'm trying to push them into doing that because it's just phenomenal. But so tell us a little bit more about, I mean, obviously we kind of got, I got a little sidetracked, I apologize, but tell us a little bit more about what you guys were doing once you started to formulate your league.
Yeah, no, the scholarship's important. That's something really important that pros need to be cognizant of, and they need to be able to utilize. I mean, that's the key to our program. Obviously, we put a lot of work into it, but without the scholarship, we wouldn't have had a program. And so I'm glad you touched on that some more. But we were trying to get 32 players, and so that would have been the biggest program in our area. But we hit 32, and we kept going and going, and we thought, okay, we hit 46, 48, 60. We thought, we started talking to each other, hey, how big of a program can we even handle? You know, a lot of these kids aren't going to have clubs. We need people to staff the thing. How many kids can even fit on the golf course, on the driving range? How is this even going to work? And we all met, and we said, let's just see how many we can get. We'll figure it out when we get there. And so our season kicked off at the end of May, and we ended up with 106 players, which was just enormous. Again, going back to the club thing, we partnered with the U.S. Clubs for Kids program here in town, and we used it as a project for our PGA Golf Management students to cut down clubs and use it as a project. And we were able to get about 30 sets of clubs to the kids who participated. We rounded up some of the PGA Golf Management students who were interning in the area, some of the graduates who were working in the area, and then a few golf team members and a few people from the community who came in. We had two coaches on each team, and we just ran with it. We had an absolute blast. It definitely took some work, but it was by far the most gratifying thing I'd ever been a part of.
Yeah, dude, I've been a part of the Junior League since the beginning at my previous facility and the facility I'm at now, and I've actually had to start the program at both facilities. And it's not easy getting that thing off the deck. That first year, just trying to explain the rules and getting kids that may not have played tournament golf before to understand, you just can't rake your golf ball. It was just such a neat experience, though, because, like, for me, what I found was, you'll probably get a taste of this, too, if you haven't already, is that, it kind of starts to drive itself a little bit in the sense that you have kids of better talent playing with kids of little talent, and they kind of help each other a little bit. So, like, I always paired an A player with, like, a C player, right? And, and occasionally, like, you have A players that want to play with A players, but you just kind of sit there and say, hey, look, you know how to play golf. Little Johnny doesn't know how to play golf yet. He's trying to learn. Show him a thing or two and just play nine holes with him and kind of like walk him through and help him around, right? Like, I'm leaning on you to be a leader right now, and I want you to help. And, man, I tell you, I haven't had a single kid not pick up the reins and walk little Johnny around the green, help him read the putt, show him where to stand, where to move his bag. And so now you're talking about developing leadership skills in 12 and 13 and 14-year-olds. And, man, I just think the Junior League has got a great thing going, and I hope they keep evolving it in the right direction like they need to keep this thing charging forward.
I think they are. I talked with them a bunch, and they have all kinds of things in the works to keep it moving, both from the scholarship side of it to the curriculum side to the competitive aspect of it, and expanding so that younger kids and older kids can participate in kind of groupings that are more suitable to their age. Our program was very developmental. Most of the kids had never played golf. And so we did a lot of clinic type activities with skills challenges like drive, chip and putt. We had a lot of team challenges that were more skills development based. And then when we went on the golf course, like you said, the more advanced players were always there to support the newer players. There was leadership opportunities for kids to gain mentoring from our PGA Golf Management student aspect. It was a really neat experience.
Yeah, man. Well, I read through the information you sent me about what all you guys did, and I think the clinic you did at the end was, you know, really kind of cool. You got 20 of the football players to come out and help. So I can imagine a lot of those kids were shock and awed, because I can imagine a community like yours. Those kids probably don't – I mean, I'm assuming those kids probably know all the football players on the team. So I can imagine have a lot of fun for them to meet those monsters. But then you guys also did that golf field day. And tell me a little bit more about that, because you had a lot of really cool stuff happening there with National Rental Car coming in and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, we did a lot of unique stuff. I think, you know, as our first year, we just wanted to make it fun, have this experience that was going to be so memorable to where when these kids went back to school and they were supposed to explain or write about their summer and what they did and the fun and things that they were able to do. We wanted them to talk about PGA Junior League. We wanted them to talk about their first experience at the golf course. And so we brought in the Aggie football team, who was fresh off of a bowl win, which was unheard of in our area. But they came in, they signed autographs, they participated in the clinic, the same clinic that our junior golfers participated in on day one. So they had already experienced it and knew the five steps that we were working on. And they actually became the teachers and were teaching the football players what to do. The football players, obviously being as charismatic as they are, they were, you know, making swings and laughing and having a good time. And the kids absolutely loved it. They had a blast, by far the most enjoyable day of the season. And then in terms of the field day, we had end of the year barbecue, bouncy houses. We had a really neat putting game where we brought in, you know, the rocks and the twigs and all the stuff and created a 9-hole putting course for them to go through. And just created some real fun games all based around golf for them to participate in prior to going to the barbecue. Through the PGA, we got some national recognition for what we were doing, mostly because of the scholarships that we had redeemed. And we were able to have two film crews come in and tell the story of some of our participants. One of the young boys was from the Boys and Girls Club that we had started earlier in the year, and he got hooked on golf there and came out for PGA Junior League and really accelerated his skill development and became more of a leader on his team. And so they went to his house and filmed and told his story as to how he got started in golf and what the game has meant to him. And then we also had a group of young people from a very low-income community where they had experienced homelessness and domestic violence and all these things that really no kids should experience. But golf had became an outlet for them, and they had joined PGA Junior League through the scholarship program. And so they sent another film crew out for 2 days and filmed their story, and will be telling their story to kickstart this coming season. But those 2 days were amazing. I mean, it really made us end the season on a high note. It was a feel-good story for everybody, and I think it really brought the community together around what we had put together over the past 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here rereading again as you're talking about that, the picture of Delilah and her recipient being the recipient of the Game Changer of the Year award. Yeah, it's some heartfelt stuff, man. I mean, that's just that. See, now you're starting to pull on the heartstrings a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That stuff that you're now not just instituting a sport, but a way of life for some of these kids, and like you said, an outlet, and teaching them values that they may not have gotten at home, and that's next level stuff, bro.
Yeah, it's even today, it's almost tough talking about. I have the chills just thinking about it. But this game really allows us to connect to people on a completely different level. I mean, we have the ability to change people's lives and develop growth within a community through the game of golf, the game that we grew up playing, the game that we love. And to be able to do that is just breathtaking, really.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of the thing that... you know, it's why we came pros, right? I mean, that's the reason why we're doing what we're doing. And, you know, not all of us get to have the opportunity that you have to work with you know, junior golfers that maybe, you know, not in the same places where other kids get to have opportunity. And to be able to provide a service to them and to be able to help them, not just with the game, but with life. And that's way deeper than what the PGA of America tells you about when you're going through the program books. you know, they're teaching how to run the business and how to, you know, make somebody not slice it. And then at the end of the day, you start getting your hands into this kind of work. And, it doesn't matter how much you're getting paid to do it. It's worth it at the end of the day. I mean, you can get paid $5 to do it, or you get paid $500 to do it. It's, that's the stuff that's worth it.
Yeah. You know, we made a little bit of money off the deal, but there's no money in the world that would be able to justify the experience that we had. I mean, what we felt like we were doing for the kids was beyond the financial reward that we could have ever made from it. It really felt good to be able to give back to the community. We were able to take on a fall season. The PGA selected us to take on a fall series for PGA Junior League. And now being in the semester, we were able to hire 20 PGA Golf Management students to help run the program. We hosted it both at Red Hawk and at New Mexico State University Golf Course, and had another 100 participants. More scholarships were redeemed. And our students got firsthand experience to see what it was like to put on a PGA Junior League program, but also to be involved in the community. And I think if there was anything that I would hope for from this entire process, is that if our students were able, our PGA Golf Management students were able to take something from that program and to be able to implement it in a community wherever they end up, I think that would be the most beneficial thing and most gratifying thing that I would have been able to do. Because now we're going to be growing the game on a much larger scale.
Yeah. I mean, now you're starting to think like, you know, how, you know, you talk about, you know, you meet one person and that's going to go tenfold from there. Now you got 100 PGM students doing this with you, and, or, you know, maybe it's the 20 that are there for the time for the semester or whatever, but either way, now you take that 20 and then they get to touch 10 other people that do that. And they're talking about 200, and then it just keeps growing from there. Yeah, it could definitely turn into a machine before you know it. So tell us a little bit more about what you guys got going on in New Mexico State. What are you planning for 2019? Obviously, you've done great work for the last 5 years for the program, and recently doing some really awesome stuff. What's your ambition and what's on your plate for 2019 and the years ahead?
Yeah, I think what we're doing is working. I think every year we expand on it and improve on what we've done. But for 2019, right now we're a week away, less than a week away from the start of the semester. I'll be teaching 4 classes on golf instruction and player development this semester. That will be a first. In the past, we've only taught 3 classes, but the PGA has transitioned now again from PGM 2.0 to PGM 3.0. And in doing so, we've been able to kind of reshuffle our course schedule and allow for our freshmen to take golf instruction their spring year, semester, which normally a student entering the program wouldn't take golf instruction until their sophomore spring. And so now the students in our program will have access to golf instruction sooner, which I think is going to hopefully get them on the right track to wanting to become a golf instructor and give us more time to hone in on their skills and give them more opportunity. We've also turned that class from a 1.5 credit class to a 3 credit class. So we've made some nice improvements to expand the teaching and player development portion of the curriculum, because obviously, as we mentioned, it's probably the most important thing that our students can get out of the deal in terms of becoming a golf professional. And so with doing that, my goals or my aspirations are for them to become better instructors. We will have plenty of opportunities for them to practice their skills. I'm coordinating now that we have a, 200 or so junior golfers that are interested in the game. We need to attract their parents. And so now what I'm going to do is create programs for our students to teach as part of their work experience, as part of their PGA requirements, but also as a way for them to gain the experience and to get more people playing golf in our community.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the model you get to bestow is unique in the sense that, like, if I were to do this on my own, you know, I'd have to hire an intern or employ somebody, but you have access to a whole, freshman level class, sophomore level class that, not to say you dictate their lives, but you get to say, hey, look, this is part of the class this semester. You're going to help me run this and you're going to get smarter for it. I'm going to get smarter for it and we're going to influence a lot of kids' lives. And, it's just, it's an incredible resource to have at your fingertips is a bunch of kids who are aspiring to be professionals, whether teaching pros or not. They're going to have to learn how to run programs in some capacity. I mean, even if you're a sales rep or a club professional, you're going to have to understand that this is part of the business and you have to understand how to make it work and make it to sustain itself a little bit in that sense. So I think that's really kind of neat, man. It's definitely, it brings me back to my college days. Definitely could have done things a little bit better in my earlier years of college. And sitting there thinking about what you're doing now, I wish I would have thought about doing that 10 years ago, but well, a little longer than that now, but it doesn't matter. when I was in college. I've really enjoyed this, Henry. I think you're doing some awesome stuff and I definitely want to have you on the show again as you do more of this yeoman's work for New Mexico State's program and for the community around you. And I appreciate the time you've taken out of your morning and rising up early with two little ones. I know that's not the easiest one, like I have to deal with them on a daily basis, but I always enjoy asking my guests to leave us a little nugget of inspiration or a little life mantra to take home with them when they finish listening to the podcast. And I would like, for you to offer us a little bit of insight or a little bit of something to go home with today to maybe motivate them to take on the next challenge in front of them.
That's good. I guess basically, this past year for us was all about giving back to the community. And whether it's giving back to the community or benefiting a person's career personally or professionally, there's always resources available. The government's giving out resources. Private sector companies are giving out resources. The PGA of America is giving resources. And for PGA golf professionals, there are resources available to benefit our communities, to improve our facilities bottom line, and to bring a little bit more income into our pockets. But there's always resources available. I would highly recommend anyone to do the PGA Junior League and to look into the scholarship programs that are available through PGA Reach and Dick's Sporting Goods to see if those will fit into their programs and benefit them personally.
Man, that's awesome. I love it. Tell the listeners, What are some of the best ways to find you, either to reach out to the Boys and Girls Club or to participate in your junior league or just to follow you on Instagram and see what you guys are doing? What are some of the best ways to make contact with you?
Yeah, good places for contact are our Facebook and Instagram, Henry Statina, henrystatinagolf.com. There's ways to contact me on the internet. Through New Mexico State University's PGA Golf Management Program, a person in the local community can contact me at Red Hawk Golf Club.
That's awesome, man. Well, Henry, I appreciate your time today, sir, and I appreciate your insights. I think you have a great story, and I look forward to seeing it continue to build and turn into a machine that you're creating.
I appreciate it. I appreciate being on the show. It's been a fun conversation. I think we should do it again, and I'm looking forward to 2019.
That's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Henry is a great man to talk to. I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you did as well. If From the sounds of it, Henry has his hands full keeping the game of golf growing in New Mexico, and he has definitely been able to maximize his resources in order to do so. And the junior golf there has got to be grateful for his efforts, as I know I am proud of him for what he has done as well. So with that, I'll leave y'all be for the day. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I hope it brought you a little bit of inspiration, and maybe you can find some way to give back to your community like Henry has done, and we can continue to share this game of golf to the people that we know. So with that, I'll leave y'all be. Don't forget, if you want to reach out and connect with the podcast, you can hit me up on social media at MattWalterPGA, or if you would be so kind, go down into your podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating, and we'll write us a little review as it helps our boost our audience. So I appreciate that if you will do that for us. Have a great day, y'all.